Perhaps you notice that both these readings look to the future, at least to the future from the perspective of the time in which they were written. Jeremiah says a couple of times, the days are surely coming. And Paul says to Timothy, the time is coming. Of course, the question for us is, the future they are looking to, has it already happened? Is it yet to come? Or maybe we're living in the midst of it. What do these readings, both about the future, from the point of view of Jeremiah and Paul, say to us here in the present? What I also find interesting is one of these readings is very much a word of hope and comfort. The other is very much a word of warning. Let's consider Jeremiah's words of hope first. A quick reminder, if you have forgotten your church history, Jeremiah is writing in the time, a time of great chaos and upheaval and darkness for the Hebrew people, the time of what we call the Babylonian exile. In 597 BC, the Babylonians had come into the kingdom of Israel and Judah. They had taken some of the people back to Babylon, exile. They had taken the king back to Babylon and set up their own puppet king in Jerusalem. Now, eventually, though, this puppet king, Zedekiah, stopped following the orders of the Babylonians, and they got a little angry about that, so they came back in 587 BC, and this time they destroyed everything. They destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. Bible even tells us they took back every single thing of any value, spoons, bowls, cups even, that were made out of metal, in addition to all the gold and the silver in the temple. In addition, they took most of the people into exile, including that puppet king, whose eyes they also tore out, just for good measure. This was a dark moment for the Hebrew people. Now, before this had all happened, Jeremiah had tried to warn them again and again and again. And as often the case, no one really listened. But once all of this happens, and it's worth noting, Jeremiah remains in Jerusalem as most of the people go into exile, suddenly Jeremiah's message from God shifts. What he has warned about has already happened. And now Jeremiah starts to offer words of hope. Remember, for the Hebrew people, probably the worst part of this was the temple being destroyed. The temple was literally the home of God, the place where God lived on earth. And the people had to come to the temple to encounter God. And now Jerusalem and the temple are in ruins. And most of the people in a foreign land. This is where we get that famous verse in the Psalms. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Where is God in all of this? If the house of God is destroyed and the people scattered, where is God? Where is our hope? And Jeremiah says, the Lord is now doing something new. The days are surely coming. Surely. Definitively. The days are coming when all that has been destroyed will now be built up, when seeds will be planted and will grow, when God will restore what is lost. And furthermore, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people. Not the covenant of Moses written on tablets of stone, that people can either read or not, obey or not. But now a covenant written in their very hearts. A covenant written within each of my people. I will be their God. They will be my people. I will do this. This is a very personal covenant. God and God's people. And no longer will children be punished for the sins of their parents. No longer will you be punished because of what other generations have done. Now, if you eat sour grapes, your teeth will be set on edge. But if you follow God's commandments, your teeth will not be set on edge. It's up to you. This new covenant is with you. You and God. It's a covenant of great hope. It's a covenant that we as Christians, of course, might say came to fruition in the person of Christ. We might be moving a tad beyond Jeremiah at this point. Jeremiah might have said the covenant was made new 70 years later when the people returned to Jerusalem. But we as Christians say, what is it that happened when Christ came? The new covenant was written suddenly, clearly in the human heart, in the person of Jesus Christ, who was human like you and me. And it's a covenant not that we have to live up to, but that we have to live into. It's in our hearts. We have the example of Christ who died on the cross, and now it's up to us to fulfill our end of that covenant. But the covenant has already been made. God has already saved us. That's the hope of a new covenant. And we simply, not easily, but simply have to hold on to what we know to be true in our hearts. That's the message as well that Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy is at a fairly low point as well. We don't know exactly, but Timothy and Paul, as Warner says, have been separated. Paul, it's thought, is in prison. Timothy is out doing the work of evangelism somewhere, but he's run into some difficulties. And that's why Paul is writing this letter and saying, hold on to what you know to be true, Timothy, despite the circumstances. Hold on to what your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice taught you. Hold on to what I taught you. Hold on to what you know to be true about your relationship with God, which has brought you where you are. Hold on. Because the days are coming, Timothy, when people won't put up with sound doctrine. People won't want to hear about the new covenant of God. They will only want to hear what they want to hear. They'll only want to hear what supports their own opinions, their own myths and illusions. So be warned, Timothy. Hold on to truth, because the days are coming when people may not want to hear the truth. I can't help thinking perhaps that day has come. Maybe it came centuries ago. Maybe it is just part of being human. But doesn't it sometimes seem like we have reached a point where people are stopping up their ears to the truth? Because we live in a time when you can get the news with exactly the slant that you want it to have. You can get the news that will reinforce everything you already think is true without being challenged in the least by facts or truth. You can turn on, you know, your favorite cable news station, and you can totally avoid the other one. You can get online and find websites that will support every crazy idea you want to believe. And you can find at least one other person who will join you in a little community online and support that. And you never have to listen to anyone who will challenge you or say, maybe you're wrong about that. No, you can live in a nice bubble of comfort these days. And it's true in churches as well, as it was not in the time of Paul. You know, if the pastor opens his big mouth, says something you don't like, you can just go down the street to another church. You can start your own church. You can just go out on the golf course and not worry about church at all. And believe whatever you want to believe. Maybe we've reached that moment. But the message of Jeremiah and Paul to me seems to be pretty much the same. Hold on to what you know to be true. Not just your opinion, but what you know in your heart to be true, based on your experience of what God has done, and not just your own experience, but based on the experience of centuries and millennia of what God has done. Hold on to that. And know it to be true. That's the promise of God's covenant. It's written in your heart. I came across what I thought was a fascinating story, and I will end with this. I think it's a wonderful summary, perhaps, of the meaning of covenant. Whether the days that are surely coming have come to pass or not, we know we still live with God's covenant. Archbishop Desmond Tutu was once teaching a confirmation class, and he tells this story about this class. He was teaching them about God's covenant. He started with Moses. He told the story of the Hebrew people and being told by God that God would rescue them from slavery and then from exile. And they simply had to try to live into that covenant, to obey what God had commanded them as liberated people. And then Desmond Tutu went on to explain how this is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ as well, the promise of the cross and the empty tomb. And at the end of this time, can you imagine being taught all this by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, by the way? He said to them, okay, I want you now, each of you, these confirmation kids, he said, can any of you summarize what God's covenant means for me? And one young boy raised his hand and said this. And the boy, speaking in God's voice, said this. Here's the definition of God's covenant with us. I saved your butts. So now go behave. Misses perhaps some of the subtlety of deep theology, but I think it gets to the essence. We know what God has done in the past for God's people. It's written in our hearts. So now we need to go act accordingly. That's covenant. And those are the tasks for us in the days to come. Amen.